Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you from your brand new chair you're sitting on.
I know, my brand new chair. Happy Wednesday to everybody. I love that we're talking about my chair. I bought a chair on TikTok. Curious for anybody that's joining. How have you bought anything off of TikTok yet?
I haven't.
You have?
Do they I did Temu. Temu I tried. Twice, okay, but I was not happy with what I got.
I would not be happy for anything that I paid 44 cents for. Just going to say.
But I am getting served up a lot of travel ads now on TikTok. Oh. So it's interesting to see how that's the platform everyone's on. All the eyeballs are there. So, of course, marketing starts going.
Lots of eyeballs. That is for sure. Well, for everybody that's joining, let us know where you are watching from. I'm here in... we got... Jeremy in the house. Good morning. Afternoon for you, Jeremy.
Yeah, we got Israel here. I love it, Jeremy. Good to see you, man.
So good to see you. It is a not so sunny day in Los Angeles. We've been struggling with the weather here.
Same here. It has been pouring rain all day, lightning and thunder, aerial flood advisory.
But that's like
thing here in Miami. We get it all the time.
Yeah. Well, here we do not. And so a little bit of rain and everybody's like, hibernate. I mean, makes sense. But
we got Sunnyvale, except it's not so sunny right now.
Oh, love this. We got a lot of fun stuff that we're talking about today, by the way.
Yeah. And this is, we weren't planning on talking about the weather, but I think it's a great transition into our first topic.
Yes.
We start getting into it. But yeah. Should we start?
Why not?
I like this one.
I'm not going to say no. Okay. So this is interesting and funny because I actually heard this when I was at CBS on Monday. So I'm sitting about to do a segment on sports tourism and then they're doing a whole travel segment right before me. And I'm like, hello, I'm sitting right over here. Can we not be
bring me on?
Totally. But for those that might have heard, there is a hotel in Singapore, the Intercontinental Singapore, who has recently introduced a new package, and it's the Rain Resist package. So basically, certain guests that are staying in suites will be reimbursed if heavy rains end up disrupting their vacation plans. Hilarious. I mean, there's more details on it, but
yeah, I love it. But it says, but there's a little fine line here. It has to exceed 120 cumulative minutes within any 4-hour block of time during daylight hours. So not at night, not when you're sleeping, but during the day when you can go out there. Yeah. But I love this.
No, and it's not for regular rooms. So it's definitely has to be like a specific suite. So, and the suites, just for reference, they start anywhere from about $600 all the way up to $4,000 a night for their presidential suite. But I think this is a really funny concept because it's the weather. Like, what do you do with that?
Well, look, I see it all the time. People have this dream that they're coming to Miami Beach. They have the screensaver on their screen for the whole year. And then they get here and it's a day like today.
Yeah.
Huge bummer, right? There's a lot of fun things to do, but you want to be out in the pool and on the beach. So I started looking into it a little bit, and the room rates are a little bit more to book this package, the Rain Resist Bliss. So it's almost like if you book it and it doesn't rain, that hotel actually makes a little extra money. So it's almost like a little insurance policy that this hotel has created, maybe by accident, because the general manager, Andreas Kramer, was just kind of joking with his friends. And, you know, he's got a great hotel, and his friends were saying, "Man, if your luxury hotel could just change the weather for us, it would be perfect." And that's how he came up with this idea that has spread everywhere.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see because it's all over the news.
It is.
And there's headlines on it everywhere. So let's see if other hotels pick it up. But good job to Andreas really thinking about this and having fun.
Well, and part of like how he came up with the idea, as you were kind of talking about, like, you know, chatting with his group of friends, what they were saying is like, oh, what's next in luxury travel? It was sort of tongue in cheek. Well, oh, being able to guarantee good weather, which is as we, and that's where it came from. And I love that sort of thing. It's funny. I have a whole thing about weather because people are obsessed with, I feel like Americans more so than other places are obsessed with weather. We have a weather channel, for goodness sake.
It's true.
We can't control. And so it's always been this funny. People are always like, did you hear about the whatever storm that's coming in? I'm like, no, I did not hear about that.
I guess because I grew up here in like a hurricane zone that I'm like traumatized still from all of it. So I'm always watching.
Traumatized?
How I am super traumatized. I went through Hurricane Andrew down here in Miami. Our house collapsed around us. My next door neighbor passed away. I was like 10 years old. So every time there's a big hurricane, I'm like, see you later, Miami. I'll come back after the storm is done.
Look, I've been in significant weather, you know, like to me, it's more of like, well, you know, I guess that's where it's different. Hurricane, that's different. And that can definitely do some damage.
That's like a bomb goes off.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's absolutely different. Whereas like for me, I'm like, okay, whether it rains like 2 inches or 6 inches, like, I gotta like move on with life here. I can't really be with that.
Yeah. How many of you watch the news out there just for the weather? I'm curious. Because it's one of the things I guess you're right. I never think about other countries not worrying about the weather and like kind of watching the Weather Channel.
I mean,
have the apps that are pinging you all the time, like thunderstorm coming to your area.
My mom told me that when I was really young. And so, because like we would sometimes have it on, and I don't remember. I mean, I was pretty young that we were having this discussion about America's obsession with weather. And I was like, interesting. Oh yeah, I guess
you're right. Made me think about it. Now it's in my brain. Now I got to look at that.
I don't know. We got Will in the back here, and he did an episode with the founder of Sensible Weather. I thank you, Will, because I was trying to remember the name of the, this platform. Are you familiar with Sensible Weather?
I think we talked about it once very briefly. It's like almost like an insurance policy for the weather, right? So you pay a little extra fee, and if you get bad weather, they pay you. So I'm curious to see what their details are on that. That's a good one to watch.
But yeah, I mean, hey, look, people and their weather, it's so crazy. All right, let's go ahead and talk about what is going on in Vegas. I thought this was an interesting story. So basically the Wynn in Las Vegas is suing the Fontainebleau for poaching people from executives to different and people, I mean, by employees. I get it. I totally get it. But at the same time, I think why I find it so like, I'm like, really, this is making the news? When I was working in Beverly Hills at the Peninsula, I was hesitating because I'm like, am I going to start naming hotels? But this was so long ago. I was working at the Peninsula, and I'll just say it. The Montage at the time, it's no longer that, was like the big brand new hotel in Beverly Hills. And it was this big deal because the former general manager actually from the Peninsula had like gone over there. But that I think was a pretty normal transition. Of course, he tried to get a lot of the employees because he had worked with them. We get it. This happens all the time. But where they took a step further is at some point they ended up getting like the guests, like the whole list of like their regular guests, and had letters sent out to all the guests that were regulars of the Peninsula and being like, you get three nights free. Come stay with us. And I remember the drama with that. And I was just like, I mean, I get it. It's drama and it's shady. And you probably shouldn't have taken the personal information of these people, which is probably more of the issue than you offering them three nights free. But I don't know. What do you think with this?
I think a lot about it. I think a lot about it because I've been
keeps me up at night.
I've been there because I've had friends. And listen, I love the Fontainebleau here in Miami Beach. I go there all the time. If people know me, it's a special place for me. I've been going there since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But they have tough non-competes. And so there's people who have worked at that hotel that have had to leave the city because they can't work within the city. And so they've had to leave and go to other parts of the country.
Good morning, Suzanne.
Hey, Suzanne. So that's where, you know, you sign these deals, they pay you big money and they say, here's a non-compete, and they hold people to it. So it's interesting to see that now they're doing it the other way where they're going and after the Wynn's employees. But it sounds like, you know, the Fontainebleau is doing something interesting. And I saw in the article that the way they're getting around this is they're hiring people from the Wynn, sending him here down to Miami Beach because it's not the Fontainebleau Vegas. And then, they requested a transfer and they come back a couple months later. Wild. And so it makes sense because a lot of people from Vegas all of a sudden started showing up into roles at the Miami Beach. And I was like, hey, nice to meet you. What's going on? So it's just fun to see that happen and what that was for. So I'm not saying anything that's not public now.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny to see. But I love the Fontainebleau and I hope they do a great job. And I think that was the point of all this. The Wynn said, we want everyone to do well.
Yeah.
Just do it the right way.
Oh, for sure. And you get it. Like, people obviously want to go ahead and protect their employees. But we talk about this all the time. It's like, if you're doing a good job and your employees are happy, they're not necessarily going to try and jump through hoops to go down the street for like 25 cents more an hour or whatever it is. I'm not saying that that's what it.
Not for these executives. This might be add a couple zeros to that 25 cents. That's probably what they're leaving for.
Totally.
It's a big competition. That's a giant hotel. We talked about the opening, right? It was a 3,500 rooms or something that we talked about. These are mega players, billionaire owners.
And we know this, and this is not just the hospitality industry, but this is for every industry, that the best way to get significant raises and or even to get advancement job advancements. Like, can I not even talk here? Hello. Sorry, guys. It's still early in Los Angeles. Promotions. There you go. Promotions. The best way to do that is to basically kind of like hop from company to company. So that's not new to,
I did it. And I would move to a hotel and there'd be people that really love working with me.
Yeah.
And they would come with me. And then I would get that phone call from the hotel. Steve, don't take any more, or it's going to cause an issue. You've already taken a handful. Don't make it more than a handful.
Don't take any more.
That's just how it goes. But I see Kate giving her comment here that people will always look for the best option for their work environment. That's why you have to be competitive.
This.
And it just happens to be that Kate, she sent me her book. This was not planned, but I have your book on my desk. Do you have it too? So there you go, Kate. Commercial for Inhospitable.
Oh my gosh.
You're watching it still. Great book. I've just started it. Really good. So, Kate.
Yes.
Cheers to you. Look at that. That was so unplanned.
That was so not planned, but there you go. So, congrats, Kate. Awesome.
Thanks for showing up today, Kate, on the live show. See, we love our viewers here.
We do. I think she hit the nail on the head. As far as just you have to be a competitive employer, and that is it. Like, full stop. Period.
Yeah. Like, don't give, when somebody, this is what I used to drive me crazy, when somebody would leave, they would say, we'll give you extra money. You should be giving that extra money because that's the right rate before they leave.
Yeah.
And if you see, Kate said, you're both hilarious. Keep reading and thank you. You got it, Kate.
But
that's what we used to do. So that was my thing. It was like, if I knew the market was going up and I could get an extra 5,000 or 10,000 to one of my managers, they were super happy because they weren't expecting it. They didn't know anything. And there's a couple people that are still at those hotels that I did that to because they got that.
Yeah. It makes sense. So, interesting drama going on in Vegas, but
Talk about drama. The next story is ultra drama.
Oh, this story is wild. Leave it to New York City and all their random rules to kind of just, I don't want to say like screw them over, but this is great. So there's a man who has lived in a New York City hotel rent-free for 5 years. And finally, he has had to move out. And you're probably like, rent-free? Wait, what? Hotel? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's been living at the New Yorker Hotel building for half a decade. Oh my God, the story is kind of nuts. So I'm sorry, I'm like reading my notes here on it. So basically, at some point, there was an option to basically pay rent in these buildings. And so, but then there was also the rent stabilizing issue that they
basically
had.
The law was if there was a building before 1969 built,
yes,
and you paid rent, you had the option for any kind of rent to extend that to 6 months. And so yeah, he found some weird loophole, got onto this building, and ended up staying and extending and extending and extending, and started convincing people he was actually the owner of the
yes
hotel.
That's the part that's so crazy. He just extended, wasn't paying anything. And then he was like, no, but I'm, and then he would even like file for things claiming he was the owner.
He filed on the public registry that he owned the hotel and tried to get the bank accounts transferred over to him. And so the owners of the building are trying to get him out and sued him. But then
imagine?
They never showed up to court to go battle it. So they dropped the case. So he kept living there and kept living there.
Yep.
And then try to collect rent from other people saying, hey, I own the building. Send it over to me, the rent to this account. We got to get this guy on here, Mickey Barreto.
No, we do
like,
not.
What was the master plan here, Mickey Barreto?
By the time the interview would be over, he would have access to all of our bank accounts. So we do not.
Yusra says, DeLulu and Suzanne Wild. It's crazy what happens out there. Like, I'm worried, like, I don't pay something on time, right? And I get like...
Even get me started on that. It is bananas how many people try to get out of paying for things. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, just all over. We were talking about this. I was actually speaking to the Florida International University's Hospitality School last night.
Yeah.
And one of the students was asking, like, what's some of the craziest like scams you've seen in hotels? Right.
Ooh.
And so I have a story that I shared. Maybe you have one. And if you're watching, give us a little of what your biggest scam was. But I was working at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, and mm-hmm. a guy was waiting in the lobby. We had somebody check out of one of our biggest suites, a female, and just said, oh, you know, I'm Miss Johnson checking out of this room, number 1812. And she left. This guy came back in and said, oh, my wife just checked out from 1812. I'm Mr. Johnson. Can you just reopen the room? I kept my key. Front desk at a five-star hotel messed up a little bit, but was just going above and beyond. Gave him the key, and he stayed there for a week and was just like charging. At the time, I was in charge of room service in the restaurant. I was ordering like Louis XIII bottle for 20 grand, the best wines. I was like, this is like crazy. Like, who is this guy? Let's see if we have a credit card.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything.
No. Nuts.
And so we had to call the police and they got him. But that was the only one I've seen like that in person. At that
ooh.
Level.
Ooh. We definitely had some crazy things happen. There was one guest I remember, he came in. First, he stopped by the concierge desk and he just like plopped down 100 and he's like, I'm going to be calling you. And I was like, that's one of the reasons why when I talk to travelers about tipping, I'm not a big fan of tipping ahead of time because it feels like a bribe. And it wasn't like, oh, he's a regular. And he's like, oh, I know I'm always going to call you. That's a different situation. It was like, I'm going to be using you later. And I was just like, I don't want that dirty money. Like that's weird. Goes up, is in his room. It ends up like ordering weird stuff. And this was a while back to give everybody an idea. Like he had ordered like a specific like printer. And then it was when people would rent computers, which is just ridiculous. And he was in his room. He basically locked himself in his room for several days. And he was like, printing credit cards. He was doing like a whole, he basically created a whole credit card fraud factory in his room.
Crazy.
It was nuts. So and finally, we obviously figured it out and they were like, you gotta go, dude. But what on earth? And because his credit cards on his room, everyone kept like, it would work And then all of a sudden we would get a notification. And then there were even some card companies that ended up calling and they're like, this is a fraudulent. And I was like, oh shit. And then, it was not one. It was that two and several people. So it's nuts. Okay. What's Suzanne saying? So Suzanne said she had an extended stay guest have to pay his bill in court. She had to walk him back to the hotel with over $30,000 in cash. Oh my gosh.
Can I give one more? Do we have time to give one more?
We do. We got time.
I love it. So this, I won't say the hotel again, South Beach Hotel, the front office manager working overnight became very friendly with a prostitution ring. Oh. And she knew all the rooms that were empty overnight, and she would give that room to those prostitutes who would bring their clients up. She would then, when they were done, they would give her a cut. They would leave. She would make up the room herself because she knew which room it was in, and there was no one else. She was the overnight manager.
She would make up the room?
She would get it cleaned up, ready to go. You know, no one knew there was any different. And she did that for like 2 years, and no one knew. And then one day in the morning, we were doing our morning lineup and the police came in and arrested her in front of everybody and walked her out.
What?
Yep. Bananas.
Like the stuff people do for an extra buck. I mean, granted, it's not like
I was just like, man, if you just put that energy towards like a real business, you would have been a top entrepreneur.
This is so true. Oh my God. Yep. Crazy. So, well, okay, let's just continue on. Today's show is definitely
off the rails, but I love it.
Wild news here. All right. So this woman, and then we actually have a video for this. So this woman actually claimed that a hotel was serving her frozen grocery store food. Hey, Will in the back, can we go ahead and play this TikTok? If you watched the video, you could see that. But if you could not watch the video because of the audio, this is the podcast part. Basically, it's a woman. She created a video on TikTok. She had been at a hotel, unnamed hotel, ended up ordering some food and was like, oh, this is actually pretty similar to the Trader Joe's Cacio e Pepe, which, by the way, I actually have some in my refrigerator. But then, and they were basically passing it off as like, just not even passing it off. It was just an item on their menu. But I forget where it was in the article, but basically I think her husband or her son's husband, this was what was weird. Her husband stumbled upon what he thought was a community refrigerator and then found frozen boxes of the meal.
This has got to be like a little bed and breakfast somewhere, because no one's strolling down to the back of house in a big hotel and be like, let me check these refrigerators.
Who has a community refrigerator? Like, let's be honest.
Maybe there's a couple of places that have them, right? But not like that. But it's interesting because, yes, I would feel burned if I found out it was a Trader Joe's I paid $40 for in a room service delivery. But for all of us food and beverage people out there, especially if you go to big convention hotels, a lot of the food is pre-made and brought in from companies like a Sysco or Cheney Brothers, or, you know, there's a bunch of people out there and we finish them prior to serving them, as we like to say. But it looks like this one is completely different. Like, I'm going to Trader Joe's. We're going to warm it up and serve it on over to you.
So, and I love that they're like, okay, we don't know, should the hotel be embarrassed or should Trader Joe's just be really flattered?
If I was Trader Joe's, I'm on this commercial hotel quality food here for $3.99.
It's so crazy. I'm just like, I mean, who would have thought it? Which actually, by the way, this goes then into our next topic here.
Kate says it too. So you said, not even a lie, I recently was given macaroons in a 5-star hotel, and they filled them with Speckaloo's cookie spread from Trader Joe's.
Stop it. They did? Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, look. No. Hotels are short-staffed. They're maybe making some not great decisions.
I get it.
But listen, we work with local vendors that we can highlight their pastries that we can highlight their stores, their honeys, different things. But Trader Joe's.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of Trader Joe's, and I do have that cacio e pepe in my refrigerator. And
I just went for the first time ever. Just opened up in our neighborhood. I'd never been. I went this past weekend for the first time, my family and I.
Okay, what
great
did you
experience.
Think?
So I actually walked in, and there was a lady organizing, and I'm a very friendly guy. I said, "Hey, Ann, it's my first time to Trader Joe's." And she goes, "First time?" And she goes, "We got a first-time Joe-er here, everybody." And then she's like, "Let me show you some of the best stuff." I was like, "This is awesome." So,
oh, my gosh. This is hilarious that you did that, by the way. I can't.
Yeah. With my wife and kids like, "Hey, we're here first time."
First time. But that's great, by the way. And Trader Joe's does have excellent customer service. So we can circle back to that in just a bit. But this article is interesting because there was another article that we saw online that was talking about, could we see an end to room service? Because I mean, obviously from since the pandemic, having labor shortages to just even just tighter budgets, some hotels have been making some of these unusual decisions. And so do people necessarily want to be paying that much more? You know, it used to be this sort of luxury, unique experience, and it isn't that way all the time. I mean, and there's been like a whole history in regards to room service when they started putting, you know, them in paper bags on doors. Like it's gone through a couple of different incarnations, but I don't know. Like, are we going to get to a point that people just don't want room service?
Yeah, I think, look, I have a special place in my heart for room service because that was my first management job, was in room service at the Lowe's Miami Beach Hotel. And then over at the Mandarin Oriental, I oversaw room service. And so we've gotten to a place where a turkey club and a glass of wine, I was at a hotel recently, cost me $85.
Stop. Right?
And so I'm like, guys, this is how we lose in room service, because we're charging these crazy prices, plus a delivery charge that goes straight to the hotel, plus a service fee that goes to the server with a percentage of it going to the hotel. Mm-hmm. And so all these fees start to add up, and there's more options now. But I still think that there's a way to do room service really well, because it is something special when you go to a luxury hotel or on vacation where, like,
totally
splurging for this, and they're coming into my room, and the table is pristine, and there's a flower, and the food is actually good and served at temperature, and the server is personable.
Yeah.
That's the home run. The part that sucks is when you get, you know, lukewarm food, and the table wheels, you see them, are disgusting. So you start thinking about the back of house, the table linen has a hole in it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
What's happening, right? And so you're paying all this money, and like, why would I order room service ever again?
Yeah.
So, that's what's going on.
Oh my gosh.
I think that there's ways to do it better.
Oh no, there totally are. This is hilarious. Suzanne said that she had a delivery charge on a breakfast buffet. Stop.
Delivery charge or service charge, Suzanne? I'm curious what you saw there. But delivery charge, maybe. God. Someone had to deliver that food to the buffet.
Like, no, it's ridiculous. But I mean, here's the thing. Look, there's always going to be room service in luxury hotels for sure. That's definitely going to be a case. I stayed at a high-end hotel here in Beverly Hills, and I would order breakfast. I was not paying for it. I had somebody else paying for it. And it was due to convenience, which would be why I would order. And it was like $100 or $110 for me to order breakfast.
Yeah,
I was like,
stop. Very quickly.
And even though cost wasn't an issue for this individual, I was like, I can't just do that for just convenience sake. Now, again, if it's a luxury thing, sure, whatever, but it's crazy how expensive it is. And then you remember this might be aging us, but remember when it was almost kind of like frowned upon to bring in outside food into hotels? Mm-hmm. And now everybody's doing Uber Eats and other things and ordering food. Yep.
But now you have to come down and pick it up outside the lobby of some of these hotels. Like, you can have it. We're not going to allow this delivery driver wandering around with his helmet.
Oh, no. He doesn't need to be like in the hallways or going up the elevator. Like, none of that. Definitely.
But I was tough. Like, I wouldn't allow you to eat it in any of our public areas if we serve food in those areas. You could have it in your room. You could eat it on the beach because that's a public area.
Yeah.
But, I think there's opportunities for hotels to have two kinds of menus, like the upscale, very nice, and more of the, hey, I just want to something to go really quick in the market or deliver to my room. I think there's two ways to do it.
Speaking of market, so I always like to do that. Like I'll do stuff from the grab and go. But what kills me, I stayed at a hotel in South Florida the last time. They had this market, but it would close kind of early.
That's when you and I went to?
Yes. It would close early and I would have like a late day and I'm like, oh my God, I just would love like an extra like bite of something at 9 o'clock and it was closed and there was no way to access. And I'm just like, and I was doing the math in my head. I was like, if they paid somebody had an extra person that had them there at least until midnight, let's just say, and then shifted these hours, how much more would they be able to sell in those extra 4 hours of being open?
They're probably like, paying $15 an hour. So another, you got to cover $60 plus, 35% of the taxes and benefits. Yeah. So can you sell a couple of waters and a couple of drinks and a couple of sodas? You might be able to, especially at that hotel.
I would think so. So yeah, I don't know. I this is the type of stuff that keeps me up at night sometimes.
We should have that one. Okay, are you ordering room service? I know. I just want to see. Do you order room service if you're watching now live? Are you ordering room service? Just give us a thumbs up. You don't have to give us the whole story.
You don't have to give us the whole story. I like to order an eggs Benedict.
Your thumbs up work. Does my camera do that?
Oh, yeah. That's my guess.
Double thumbs?
Double thumbs. Ooh, we just got some fireworks over here.
Sorry, listeners that are just tuning into the TV. We're gone off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, we have gone off the rails. All right. Well, Steve, do you have a sort of real-time recap that happened from this week?
Oh my gosh, we already at the end of the show?
We are.
So that's amazing. Real-time recap. I would like to say, I was going to say Trader Joe's, but we talked about that already because I was so impressed with
I love that. You could talk about Trader Joe's.
I think Trader Joe's was excellent. It's not a place that I was expecting hospitality. Like, kind of threw me off a little bit because this person, Ann, at the Trader Joe's in South Miami or in Coral Gables, walked me through and showed me the most popular items in the store that people usually get at Trader Joe's. So she showed me like the chicken fried rice that people get, the cookies that are her favorite, the ice cream area, the flatbreads. I was like, man, look at all these great things. And I'm holding my Trader Joe's green juice today.
Oh my God. Oh my, Trader Joe's is like snack central. But I love there. I get a lot of my salad ingredients from there. Their nuts are really good. They're not overly priced or anything, whatever. We're not sitting here doing
I was impressed. The hospitality is what was nice, that she took the time to walk me around with my wife and kids and like chat to us as if we were friends. So it was very nice.
They are definitely very friendly. No, I love that. That actually got me thinking. I was at the UPS store out of all places. And it was interesting. We ended up getting into just a really nice conversation. I was returning something through a new service that I had never heard of before. They were just super friendly. It wasn't like an Amazon drop off, but it was like some other service. Mm-hmm. And I go in there and I'm like, I'm here to drop off at like the Happy Box. And they were like, what? And I was like, I don't know, whatever it's called. They're like, oh, the name of the service. And we just started chatting and they were just super friendly. And I ended up telling them, I was like, you know, FYI, when I was working at this hotel down the street, I would send a lot of my guests here to you guys because you have always been super helpful. And whether it was they have a notary on site, whether it was for somebody needed to mail out something really specific or whatever. So I just said, just want to say thank you guys. You have been consistently really good with your customer service for over a decade now. So just goes to show you there's good hospitality everywhere.
If they really put the effort in, it makes all the difference. So we now give Trader Joe's and UPS a shout out for their top hospitality.
This is not sponsored by them, but we would be open to sponsorships from Trader Joe's and UPS. Okay, cool. So the hospitality quote of the week. This was fun. Hospitality is about connection, not perfection. And that is actually from my book, by the way. I wasn't trying to plug my
book. I was like, who wrote that book?
Who wrote that book? No, but it was interesting. I was kind of looking for a hospitality quote and I just opened up my book and landed on that page, which is right before chapter 5, The Role of Relationships in Hospitality. this is so hilarious. Clearly my coffee is not kicked in. One and only good times. So what I loved about this is we all, and we've talked about this before, is that the hospitality industry is not a perfect industry. We are based on humans, and humans, just by nature, errors are going to happen. And so part of what we're doing, things are just not going to always be perfect. Of course, we try to have things be as perfect as they can be, but it's about the connection at the end of the day. And how many times have we talked about you can take a mistake that's happened at a hotel, and by having a connection, you can make it better, and you can turn that guest into a lifetime returning guest because of how you handle the situation. So that's why I wanted to kind of just like, you know, end on this note with that notion of like, things are not going to be perfect, but if we make a connection, you can make things right. You can shift the whole situation around.
And I thought about it from a different angle when I read it. Was this kind of reminds me of your favorite neighborhood restaurant or dive bar or place like that. They're not perfect places.
No.
You have that connection with the owner or that favorite server, and you go back over and over again. So it really is. You feel connected to somebody or to a group or to a business, you will be a diehard fan forever.
Totally. Oh, see, it was a good quote.
That's a great one.
It's a good quote. Oh my God. So ridiculous. Well, oh my gosh, look at us just cruising right here, right
in. Right through. It's amazing. A great week. I love my middle of the week going this way. It sets me off on the right foot for the rest of the day.
I know. And I hope everybody that's tuning in, I hope you guys enjoy it as well too. And by the way, if you see anything crazy out there in the news or you want to find out more about something, please know that you can always send us, both Steve and I are on our social media all the time. So send us something that you've seen or something that you want us to do a deeper dive into. Always open to having you chime in and share what you want to see more of. Because, you know, it's fun.
It's great. Yeah, we're always open to seeing what you're sending us, and we appreciate it very much.
Mm-hmm. So excited for next week. I guess this is our show. You want to do the show wrap? I will let you do the show wrap.
My show. Listen, if you enjoyed today's show, please make sure to share and comment and subscribe and all the other fun things that we tell you to do with podcasts. But we just love seeing you here live. And if you're watching this on a replay, set your calendar for 10 a.m. Eastern or 7 a.m. Pacific, because we would love to chat with you live. It's nothing more fun than that. So thanks for showing up today.
Woohoo! See you soon.